This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Onnit.com. If you're like me, you wake up in the morning with brain fog, feeling lazy and confused. Your job or jobs require you to be on top of everything, but your mind often slows down, your attention drifts away, and your memory fails. Coffee and prescription meds have failed you, leaving you with jitters and a lack of sleep. Worst of all, it keeps happening when you need to be on top of your game. Lucky for you, Onnit may have the answer. With a team of scientists and researchers, Onnit took the best earth-grown botanicals and created a one-of-a-kind cognitive enhancer called AlphaBrain. It could be the solution you've been looking for. AlphaBrain works. It's been clinically studied to help healthy individuals support memory, focus, and processing speeds, and is made from natural ingredients found in nature. For a limited time, Onnit is giving you a chance to try AlphaBrain free of charge. That's right, I said it, free. You just have to pay the shipping. Best of all, if you're not satisfied, you can keep the bottle and Onnit will give you a free refund. You don't even have to call. No hoops, no catch, nothing. It's as easy as could possibly be, entirely risk-free with a 100% money-back guarantee. So go to onnit.com/JREE and try it today. That's onnit.com/JREE to try your AlphaBrain trial today.
You are now listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Throwback Edition with Chico, Simon, come on, and your host, Matt Floyd.
All right. Welcome back to another This Won't Age Well. In this one, we went all the fucking way back.
Yeah, that was a good call, Matt.
As far back as you could go. Kamar, I got to be honest. This is what someone suggested on the Reddit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did I say people on the Reddit put suggestions on?
I did. You did? I went on the Reddit and said, and only it took 2 weeks, but finally someone responded and they said, why don't you do the first episode?
Thank you to whoever that was. Shout out to the Reddit.
Yeah. So I thought that was a great idea.
Until you started listening to it.
Until I started listening to it, yes. I actually watched this one. Did you watch it?
I watched part of it.
It was unfucking watchable with the snowflake overlay. Oh my fucking God.
And they're both sitting there like in the screen.
Dude, it is the most together. Awkward. Yeah, I mean, this is the epitome of the beginnings.
Lo-fi.
Yeah.
Well, it's like 20 minutes of them staring at the computer figuring out. Trying to like set shit up. And
Simon, your stand again is all fucked, just to let you know.
But did you hear the keys?
Oh, him typing? Like, well, dude, I watched it. So it's like, yeah. Oh, it was tough. And yeah, Brian just sitting in the background making weird faces occasionally.
It seemed like it was in the Dark Ages or something.
Simon, twist the thing there. Twist on the bottom there. There you go.
Like
pull it up.
Nicole,
there you go. And twist again.
Right.
Perfect.
Back with your regular scheduled programming.
This gave me hope. This should give everyone hope, actually. I think everyone should go back and watch this because you got to start somewhere. If you think you're just going to start a podcast and have Joe's studio, you better have Joe's money.
It is fucking crazy to think, though,
that it started with this Christmas Eve.
Where we are right now.
It's nuts.
Joe Rogan with 12 million views or
12 million
listeners,
subscribers.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's 300 million downloads a month. That's what
insanity.
He gets.
Insanity.
He was so happy that there were 370 people listening at one point and was like bum when two dropped off.
Well, no, my favorite is he goes, oh, there's only 10 people listening. And Brian goes, there's 113. And he goes, 113? That's like a sold out comedy show.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I really feel a lot of extra pressure now. I remember listening to that and being like, oh, Joe, you have no idea what's in store for you, buddy. Like, it was really eye opening. It was
the new naivete or whatever was totally adorable, and I liked that he was answering questions.
Yeah, it was more of like a AMA.
They're using Twitter though.
Yeah, well, it's funny because Twitter was so old. It was so early in Twitter that they got too many tweets, and it was like shutting Joe's Twitter down.
Yeah, it was, and he was using an iPhone 1,
and Joe was saying things like twittering. Instead of tweeting.
Yeah. It was 10 years ago, right? It was December 24th,
2009. December 24th, 2009. That's correct. Do you want to know what was going on in 2000? No, I'd have to look it up.
Well, it was Christmas Eve, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, too, that they chose Christmas Eve.
Fuck, the wife phones into the podcast at the end and says, all right, wrap this shit up.
Yeah. It was the ultimate Bush League.
The ultimate, yeah. No, I mean, this was definitely like, as far as substance goes, I mean, it, I will say this. I love that, like, once they finally get going, it's 20 minutes in where he's like, yeah, you know, I have this buddy who's like really into conspiracies and like all of his evidence is YouTube based. I immediately was like, oh my God, he's talking about Eddie. This is like the first appearance of Eddie Bravo.
And he was already into conspiracies. Dude, that's unlike what, Sam Tripoli.
No, but it's crazy that even in 2009, like 3 years into YouTube, it's only been around for 3 years at that time.
Was using YouTube as his main reference.
But, well, dude, listen, and he's still 10 years
Eddie
later.
Eddie got him into smoking weed and that's what they would talk about. Yeah. Aliens and conspiracy theories. Like,
It's the foundation of the whole thing.
I mean, even to go crazier, it's nuts because Joe is like, I'm smoking medicinal marijuana. This is legal medicinal marijuana, and now it's readily available in the state.
He held
and
up
like,
his certificate.
Yeah,
he was showing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, we've come. I mean, it's nuts that it's 10 years, but yeah,
what
fucked.
What I thought was amazing is Brian didn't talk that much. He sort of sat back and Joe just talked almost like a one-man podcast, but he's answering the question, so there was a dialogue. But he talked about everything he talks about. Bigfoot was mentioned. Aliens were mentioned.
Yep.
Was mentioned.
All the bedrock was set for the next 1,300 episodes.
For sure,
like,
man. For sure.
Except for hunting.
Because he wasn't hunting.
He did not know he was a hunter.
Yeah.
No.
Remember?
It's true. No archery.
It might not have been this episode. It might have been Sam Tripoli or Lang. Sorry for the crossover. But he was saying, my hobbies are comedy, pool.
It was this one.
Okay, it was this one. He didn't know what he was going to get into.
And he was saying that he knew he was easily addicted to things, but he wanted to make sure the things he was addicted to were benefiting him in some way.
A positive outcome.
Yeah.
Which is really good advice for everybody, right? Like, if you're doing something a lot, that thing should at least be like something where you have some hope. Positive gain from it, yeah.
For yourself.
It's a weird statement, though. You would assume that any person's hobby is giving them some positive gain.
Well,
gambling for Artie is giving them negative gain.
I was thinking more of like, okay, you have two things that you like to do. One of them is playing video games and one of them is taking photographs. That photograph has a very good chance of getting you somewhere where the video games is literally just making you happy for the moment. Both of those things are bringing you joy.
Well, the argument in this day and age could be made that you have just as good a chance of being rich off video games. Correct?
I mean, maybe, depending on who you are. Like, do you have just as good a chance of being rich at video games, or do you have a better chance of being of making money from selling your photographs?
Oh, I'm mediocre at both. So
I would say the latter, though. And besides which, I'm just talking about creating something. It feels good to create something.
Sure,
and to
but that's
have
a different
to
statement.
Show for what your hobby is, as opposed to.
But what I'm saying, though, Simon, is even then, like, you could say, you know, if your hobby's bowling or like frisbee golf, two things that we enjoy doing, like, we're not going to be pros of those. We're never going to make money, but we're getting out and whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you might not get.
But
any,
you're improving a bowl.
But my point to Simon was, we're not creating anything out of that.
That's true. Sports is different.
You're getting out of the house, though. I'm
just
walking around.
I think my point to Simon is, using video games in my scenario is different because, yes, I just sit in the basement a couple hours a night and play some video games. But there's kids out there that like go to competitions, meet new friends, meet people. You know that maybe they're not going to make millions off it. Maybe they're not even going to make a living off it, but they'll meet people. And I don't know. I'm just saying you can't shit on every. It's a very old way of looking at things that maybe, you know, we have that old way of our parents thought like, oh, video games are just.
For sure. And there are some kids or there are a lot of kids but there are also a lot of kids who
that
just
waste
like
their lives
us,
for
that
sure.
Sat in the basement smoking 100%. Weed and fucking doing nothing. Yeah. So
I cannot believe you don't Twitch. Like, it just blows my mind.
That I'm not. What do you mean?
On Twitch.
I just don't think anyone would watch.
Well, shows what you know. I didn't think anyone would listen to this. The point being is you're playing video games.
Good point.
Touche.
You're playing these video games and you go on there and you're just talking shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess my assumption always is that the people that watch people on Twitch are usually really good at video games. Whereas I'm like mediocre, but I guess if you're watching me just for my personality and me getting angry at not being great, then Maybe there's something there. Maybe you're right.
Personality is actually overriding.
There are a lot of, like, look at those FIFA guys who just get angry at the game.
Yeah, no, that's true too. Yeah,
I like watching those guys way more than I would want to watch, like,
it's true. Yeah,
all games, good dude. All games too, man.
Not that I would want to watch anybody.
But no, I know what you're saying.
But that'd be like a positive outcome of playing video games.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, Kamar, totally. Like, at least if you were throwing it out there, maybe nobody would watch, but maybe a lot of people watch, like,
yeah, maybe, yeah, yeah. Fuck, now I gotta go out and buy a goddamn fucking camera.
And it might be super fun.
Well, I mean, I do it anyway, so now you've piqued my interest.
Well, now I think you have to do it. Otherwise, you're just wasting time.
If you're doing it anyways, I do not know why you wouldn't.
No, maybe, yeah, maybe you're right.
Especially the type of person you are, you make.
Oh yeah, I'm animated
when you play video
without
games.
Without a doubt.
I'm sure, because you have a passion for it. So it's just like, this is all what Naval was talking
about. Thinking
about
all the time you've been wasting.
This is what...
All of it.
But yeah, and you know, it's the same thing. You just got to do it to do it, not to do it for money, like Joe started this podcast, like, for shits
and
giggles.
I think the
and
big,
look what it's become.
But hold on. That was kind of the full circle to my first point, was like, you should watch this episode, and I suggest watching it more than listening to it, just to see, like, you can start, and Simon and I had this conversation before. It's Joe Rogan. He already had some fame, so he had a leg up. Like, if we had you streamed our first episode, we would have had zero fucking people watching. Whereas now, you know, we might get a few people watching. I'm just saying, you're never going to start anywhere but step one.
Well, no one will ever start sort of as low as he started.
Oh my God.
But you know what I mean? Like, podcasting wasn't even a big thing. This is 10 years ago. Yeah. What was the exact date? Sorry.
2009, December 24th.
So 10 years exactly. So when you look at it that way, it's like, it's been a gradual rise to where he is now. But I think Corolla was a podcast then. Do you guys ever listen to Corolla?
I don't, but
I started on Corolla.
Corolla was a podcast at this point. Sirius Radio was going through some turmoil because they weren't making it. I still don't know if they're making any money, but
they're still getting your money every year.
Not for much longer. Tom Green, that was like, he had a podcast at this point.
But it was a show.
And it was, it was way more professional.
Too much. It cables and stuff.
Yeah. But that's what I wanted to bring up really quickly is, again, you know, we've talked about a lot of people like Norm MacDonald from Ottawa, Shane Smith from Ottawa. Who else were we talking about recently?
Gavin McInnes
from Ottawa, yeah. Tom Green from Ottawa. You could argue, okay, so first of all,
Tom Green really from Ottawa.
Oh, like as from Ottawa as you could be, but there's some really big points I think need to be made about Tom Green. The first is, I don't really like him. He blocked me on Twitter, so fuck Tom Green, but I will say this.
Wait a second, back up here. Why did he block you on Twitter? What'd you say?
Dude, I was living in Vancouver and I was scrolling through my Twitter and he said, he was like, he posted some political thing or something. I don't remember what he posted, but I replied saying, I liked you better with a cow teat in your mouth. And he blocked me right away.
Ouch. Wow. He must have been going through a bad day.
Super sensitive. Anyway, I will say this. Tom Green was a white rapper in 1990 when there really wasn't white rappers. And he was Canadian, which is crazy. And they had a hit. Then you could also argue that he laid the pavement for Jackass.
Everything.
Which 100% he did.
Dude, reality his TV. Slutmobile skit.
That was
is
one of the funniest
of the
things
funniest
you've ever seen.
I bet you could put that on right now and you will laugh your ass off.
All of it, dude. The petting zoo in his parents' house. I remember one night after the show.
His mom driving to, or his dad driving to work in the slutmobile.
No, it was his dad wouldn't drive to work. He walked to the bus stop and Tom drove the slutmobile up and was like, Dad, I did this for you.
It was so funny.
Incredible.
All his videos are up on YouTube now.
But then again, I was also going to say and then you hear Joe say, like, I saw Tom Green set up and kind of was like, I got to do this. I mean, I know he said Anthony too, but
he was doing well. And then he made that movie, Freddy Got Fingered, that made zero sense. And that was the end of Tom Green.
Not the end. He still, listen.
He talks about it on your mom's house.
Tom Green is still successful. My point was just that Tom Green has been ahead of the curve on, like, so many fucking like almost so far ahead that he didn't necessarily get the fame that maybe
I
he
see
should
what
have.
You're saying, because he was a white rapper before white rappers before
I'm not saying he would have been a successful white rapper. What I'm saying though is, like, they didn't really exist. Tom Green had a hit as a white rapper in 1990.
There was Kish, too, back then.
Well, there was Vanilla Ice, too. Like, whatever. But my point is, you know, he really... He did a lot of things before a lot of people did.
And he still performs at Yuck Yucks on Elgin when it comes to Ottawa.
There you go.
He's got his own beer now. Yeah, he's doing fine, I'm sure.
Yeah, he was married to fucking Drew Barrymore. He lost his testicle. I mean, Tom Green.
He had an MTV show.
I forgot he was married to Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, their house burned down.
He was the biggest thing on MTV right before MTV would crash. I think he started reality television.
No, that's what I mean. He was huge. And then Freddie got fingered. That was like... the end of that rise.
But it was also MTV itself was the end of, you know, and then Jackass came along and really stole his
thunder.
He
said on Your Mom's House that he should have got some writers. Like, they were like, do you want to make a movie? He's like, yeah, I'll make a movie. I'm Tom Green. Like, he's still young, you know what I mean? And realized he shouldn't have done that, but.
Well, yeah, there was a scene where he just jumps out of the car and starts sucking on a cow tit. It's like, dude, you can't just do your gag. Like,
got you blocked. No, but he admitted, I shouldn't have done that. Like, but I didn't know what I was doing. People were just throwing money at me. And I'm just thinking, he said, just keep being this crazy wild guy who's awkward, because that's what's getting us here. And he never took a sense like, oh, it can be a character, because he's now a lot more reserved. His comedy's like sort of political, actually. So,
but it was just crazy that in the 90s, you would see him fucking all over Ottawa, and he was just like some guy on public access TV. And the next thing you know, like,
so funny.
Next thing you know,
he's in an Eminem song.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, next thing he's on MTV and he's bigger than sliced bread. And you're like, what? Holy fuck. Like, this guy. I went to the Tom Green show live at Rogers twice.
Yeah. He's in the Ottawa Hall of Fame for sure. Yeah. And so inspired Joe Rogan to start his podcast.
That sign falls down behind them.
Make Me Hard. Yeah.
That's a stupid story. I mean, it's a good story, but what? It's just. But again, that lays the.
Well, another.
Because Joe talks about producers sticking their nose in to the soup.
Yeah.
Jizzing in the soup. That's one of his.
Yeah, but he also, too, he brings up Joey Diaz, episode one.
Well.
Right. How great Joey is.
He even puts up, if you didn't watch it, he made like halfway through the episode, he's like, Brian, put up Mad Flavor on the fucking screen, and then they tick it. Dude, it's so infuriating. I don't know what kind of computer they're using. I realize it's 2009, but Joe, the Mad Flavor, follow Mad Flavors in the very middle of the screen, and to move it to the top, he does it one tick at a time. So you can hear him like tick, 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 and it's slowly just like,
So what are they showing this on? Like, what?
It's Ustream.
It's Ustream, whatever that is. So was YouTube a thing at this point?
Yeah, YouTube was around. YouTube was bought by Google in 2006 for $1 billion. So YouTube, I think, came along in like 2004 or 5. But I'm not certain on that. I'll Jamie that up. But yes, YouTube is definitely around at that point.
But the Ustream, you now watch
but
on
you
YouTube.
Couldn't, hold on. You couldn't live stream on YouTube at that time.
You can now.
You can now, yes. But that only came along like a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. That was my point. So they would Ustream it and record it and then post it to iTunes or wherever the fuck.
And I remember there was a weird delay with it coming out and the audio, like on the iTunes, like 2 days later, 3 days later. Sometimes Brian would like slack on getting it up. Like, now it's up.
Did you listen right from the start? Like, did you listen to this one, Kamar?
I did, and it's just painful. Like, it.
No, he's saying, did you listen in 2009? Like,
were you listening to the show?
Maybe episode 10 or 15.
Really, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing, Kamar.
I listened to them back then, but it was only if it was like Bill Burr or something, like a comedian that I was well aware of. Like, I didn't listen to any of the Ari Shaffirs. I didn't listen to any of the Brian Redbands.
But I think Joe Rogan was on Corolla or maybe even Marin. Like, he was on something and then I was like, what? He does a podcast? I would listen to all the other ones. Mm-hmm. More so, and then save for the fighting, I think he's my favorite.
I had never listened to this one, obviously, and I really thought we might hear the Holtzman story. I thought that might have been a possibility.
No, because in my head, I was like, there's no organic way for this to come up. Well, like, Brian's not saying much. There's no way that someone in the chat.
So, was the most offensive joke you've ever heard.
Totally, man. Totally.
No, I felt like it wasn't going to happen.
Too bad the man show didn't take off. Like, he said, it was because Janet Jackson's nipple came out and whatnot. But
it's probably best it didn't.
Joe and Doug, That, what a great show that would have been.
Well, Doug was way bigger in my eyes than Joe Rogan when they did
at that,
that
point.
That
yeah.
show, like
yeah.
way bigger.
Yeah, but his stand-up at that point was top notch as well.
Stanhope.
Yeah, he was
well,
the
wasn't
top of his
Stanhope
game then.
Actually like on the verge of stardom at that point?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just alcohol. I mean, he just...
I know he was at the top of the stand-up game. Like, he was selling out rooms everywhere. Not theaters, because that wasn't really a thing then, but...
But now that you hear that, if you said a show with Doug Stanhope and Joe Rogan, like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Of course. And do whatever you want. Don't even tell us. As if they brought a Joey Diaz really, with his nuts out, man.
What's really funny, though, is that, like, it's still to this day, you still can't get a show where they're like, do what you want. Like, still to this day, it's...
Well, Louis did that.
He had to produce it all himself.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
But that's not you... Okay, when you become the executive producer, you...
There's no sitcom where they're saying do whatever you want.
There's no show at all where they're saying do what you want.
No.
That's
no,
what I'm saying. It's still to this day, but...
It's only podcasts where you can do
but
that.
You'd think at this point, after like Chappelle and after all these successful shows, that they'd just go, maybe we should just... Maybe we don't know. Maybe we're numbers guys, or maybe we're like... You know, especially after hearing that real world... Chappelle
they're just not willing to take enough risks, man. That's
well, no, but like the real world Chappelle thing, when they showed them all the shots they had, and they none of them laughed, and they went, "We don't understand this." And then they air it anyway, and it gets like huge response, and then they all just come back and go, "Yeah, we don't know what we're talking about." Like,
I think it was more because the wall was painted blue. You know, that they use as a reference. Yeah, yeah. That's what they say. Ratings are up since we changed the set.
So it was 30 minutes of snowflakes.
Oh, it was brutal. Thank God someone in the
because
chat
they
said
talk
something.
About it, yeah. On the thing.
But the snowflakes make sense because it's Christmas Eve.
That well, that okay. It took me a while to catch on to that. At first,
I
was
just put
in,
together
at
just
first
now,
I was just infuriated.
Mm-hmm. And then they're talking about Pan's Labyrinth. You know that movie?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Joe says, "You know Pan's Labyrinth."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Labyrinth? Does he not know the word labyrinth?"
Listen, man, he's spoken to a lot of smart people since then.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I just.
He's a simple man. He's talking.
No, I think one
no
of the DMT trips made Joe like tuned him
sharper.
Into his more intelligent self.
No, I think he just has
no,
spoken
I'm
to.
I'm just joking. He probably just misspoke.
Well, what
I would like to know at this point, what do you think the guest count is? And I don't mean reoccurring. I just mean how many individuals at this point
well,
has
how many
he had
episodes
on?
Have there been?
1308, 1310.
So
like
there's
that.
Probably 1312. Been like 700 guests.
Wow, that's a lot.
Of conversations.
I mean, I'm taking a wild guess.
No, but you're
there,
probably
you know?
You're probably close to right.
I mean, no, because let's think about this. All his main guys,
yeah,
have been on multiple times. So I mean, maybe
Ari's been on a lot.
I mean, let's
500 might be a good number.
I'm gonna check.
They have it. There's a site that says who's been on all the numbers. Yeah, he had no idea where this was going or what it would be. And his freshness about being a UFC commentator and stuff.
Yeah.
It was so, and he's fucking
well, no,
consistent.
Hold on. He wasn't fresh then.
No, he's saying, I just do this. Like,
yeah.
UFC was not what it is today.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, you could tell from talking to that, like their conversation about the UFC, there were still barely any fighters. Like when he was talking about how BJ Penn could probably never lose, I was sitting there thinking like, BJ Penn hasn't won in like 8 years. Like
BJ
literally.
Penn's retired now too.
No, but he's lost his last. Dude, they had.
Oh, since say the statement was made, maybe he won one more fight and he's lost everything.
Yeah. Like Kamara, they were showing the last UFC, I think it was 238.
Mm-hmm.
When BJ Penn fought, he was at 238, 138, and 38. He fought it. That's how long he's been in the UFC.
It's a long career. Chael Sonnen just retired.
Yeah, he got dusted by Machida.
He did.
I watched
did,
it.
Yes, I saw that too. Well, I was going to say, I've noticed the float tank.
Oh, that came up in this one.
Yeah, but right off the bat.
First
yeah.
one.
But I noticed it's had a journey in the podcast as being prevalent. Like, did he suggest Russell Brand to do the float tank?
Yeah, he suggested to everyone.
Okay. But sometimes he brings
so
it up.
So he was talking about the float tank in his comedy before he had a podcast. So when I went to see him at the
Bronson Center.
Yeah.
What year was that?
I wonder what year that was.
He had a podcast by then. There's no way that was 10 years
he
ago.
He must have, because he was doing a huge question and answer. And at the time, I didn't understand where all these people were getting these questions for him, but it must have been from the podcast.
post podcast you think the
I also don't think was. I also don't think he could have done a 2-hour Q&A pre-podcast. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, I don't think people would have had enough questions. Mm-hmm. How many news radio questions could you ask? Or Fear Factor for that matter. Right?
Sorry, you didn't hear that?
Me, of course. I said, how long could you do a Q&A based on questions around news radio and Fear Factor? Yeah, not 2 hours.
No, you couldn't. No, and all the Q&A was alien, like most of Bigfoot. It was mostly, well, what I remember was DMT. There was a lot of DMT talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about because I didn't even know what DMT was back then.
It's dimethyltryptamine.
Really? That's just for
those,
what it is?
For those Jesus. Of you unaware.
So Joe said he didn't like the book The Strain by Guillermo del Toro. It's his vampire. There's like five in the trilogy. Yeah. They made a TV show about it, which was like so-so. But the books are actually really good. I don't know why Joe was shitting on them so much.
It was March 2010.
What was?
That show you went to.
Oh, so we only had the podcast for 4 months at that point.
Okay, so then that goes to what I was saying is he must have had some followers about the DMT before the podcast.
Oh, well, I was listening to it. I remember I was like, you're going to see Joe Rogan when you told me you're going to go.
So you were listening.
Why, Simon? Hold on. Yeah. You could assume, we can look right now. He probably had 10 or 15 episodes at that point where he had probably mentioned DMT. We know it's a fucking reoccurring theme, so.
That's what everyone was asking the audience about. Talk about DMT.
Yeah.
That's what they're all asking. And you're like, what's his DMT? Yeah, what's he talking about?
A bunch of people ask questions about DMT.
And did you think he was going to tell jokes about fighting or news radio?
I really don't even remember what the show was. I don't remember anything. That's so many years ago. What year did you say that was?
2010.
March.
2010. So that was 10 years ago. 9 years ago. Yeah, I don't remember. So in this episode, like you were saying, he starts talking about Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
That comes up.
Yeah.
And killer whales comes up right away. So long before Demers has ever even a twinkle in his eye, Joe has been interested in the killer whales.
Oh, at this point, but Bill Demers is still feeding his walrus fucking mackerel.
He makes a great point about Bigfoot in this episode, which is we have so many amazing things on Earth that are so much more amazing than Bigfoot is, like killer whales.
He'd
like
just be in
dolphins.
A cage beside the monkeys.
If we were to have caught him 50 years ago, exactly, Kumar, that's what he said, was he would just be a bigger monkey in the zoo. Like, he's not so much different than a gorilla. He's just a bigger version of that. We just... I've never seen him, so it seems crazy. But when you, like, when I was like harping on how crazy a giraffe is, like if you found the bones of a giraffe, that would be way, if you had never seen a giraffe before, that'd be way crazier than finding a big ape.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It would be a fucking like finding a brontosaurus.
Mm-hmm. If you didn't know what it was ever before.
If you were stumbling upon
actually,
it,
actually, fuck
the
that,
first
man.
Time.
I know what a giraffe is. If I ever saw a giraffe live, I'd be like,
still,
what the fuck?
It's still fucking crazy. Well, we take these things for granted. I think that's the point.
I
is
agree.
That because we read about it in a. But when you're looking face to face with a rhinoceros, like that is a fucking alien. What is that, you know?
Or a dinosaur.
Or an elephant or a whatever.
Or a 50,000-year-old wolf. Did you hear about that?
No, what?
They found a
I sent you the link, Simon. 50 or get out of here.
40,000.
What are you talking about?
I sent you the link on Reddit. It's a 40,000-year-old Siberian.
And still got fur on it.
Yeah. It was locked in permafrost.
I did not see that.
It's got to be like the daddy of all fucking dogs, man.
I'm disappointed in you,
Have
Simon.
You seen that black wolf? There was that footage of it. It walks across the road. These people are like driving their car.
No.
I'm sure you've seen it. It made the rounds. It is fucking terrifying. This thing comes out in front of the car. It looks directly into the camera. And it is like, it looks like it was from 50,000 years ago.
I don't know if they changed much.
Well, this thing looks fucking scary as shit. I'll show it to you after the show.
And he talks about Operation Northwoods. Paperclip, Guantanamo Bay.
Well, even
Kennedy.
Right from the start of this, he's like, there are so many real conspiracy theories. Why would I be wasting my time with Bigfoot and aliens. And but you see, everything comes full circle, man.
But I'm just saying, he's so consistent. Like, he hasn't changed at all.
No, he has, though. He's come around on tons of these things.
Well, through a journey, but yes. it's still the same guy. You know what I mean? I don't feel like Joe Rogan today to that Joe is the same Joe. Like,
what I do find, his curiosity, though, is going back and listening to all these old ones, is that there's a certain, maybe it's just age, right? It's 10 years. Maybe it's just, you know. But he just seems way more centered now. And
well, again, he's spoken to so many.
Right.
You can have your own opinion, and then you speak to literally hundreds of experts in hundreds of fields. And then you start going.
He had his kids.
Yeah, and you start going, maybe I don't know everything. People are doing.
For sure. You're absolutely right.
I think that's
right.
More it.
And he says, and just to show how times have changed, he says that's gay, maybe.
Oh, he says it a lot.
1,000 times.
He says it a lot.
Like, that is just part of his vernacular at this point, where it's totally removed from his vernacular now, right?
Yeah, I've watched that transformation for sure.
And even in this one, at the very end, he drops the N-bomb, talking about himself. And just that would never happen now, you know? Like, he would.
That's
never.
Not true. You go back like 400 episodes and he says it.
But it's more like 300 people listening.
But he says it. He usually when he says it, it's when he's quoting someone.
That's what I mean. This was.
Oh, was it? I missed that one then.
I'll play it for you. And it's not a big deal. And I'm not telling anyone to go back. And,
no, no, no. I know that. I'm just saying you'll still hear him say it. But he usually says it when he's quoting someone.
This was like was a little different. But again, it was. I don't think he was worried about anything he was saying back then.
I hate when someone is quoting someone and they say N-bomb. I'm like, did they say N-bomb? No? Well, then why don't you tell me what the fuck they... Because it's not as inflammatory. Like,
N-word.
If you see... Like, let's say you're at McDonald's and you saw an altercation and someone, you know, said that. It doesn't have the same, like, oomph as when you're like, he was in there and he said the N-word to him. You know, it's like, I don't know. Same thing like Mark Twain. Like, if you edit that book, it just doesn't, I don't know.
Retarded. I'm sure you said retarded a lot more. But, I mean, it's 10 years ago. I just realized the funny thing about, I'm going to cross over again with Sam Tripoli, is the...
Please do.
That Chinese woman who's offended. They were trying to cancel Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
Is that crazy? That's like eating themselves.
Well, but hold on. The craziest part was that Colbert actually defended her in being like, I thought the tweet was racist too.
Yeah.
And I didn't write it. It was my like team of people, which I thought was so weird. I was like, this is all fucking very weird.
It's just, that was a
bit. The tweet was a bit insensitive. The Ching Chong, whatever it was.
No, Gooks. The Gooks.
No. That was the article that was written. That they said was funny. The tweet that the Colbert Report sent out was like, it had Ching Chong Chingy in it or something. It was pretty offensive.
He said, sorry for the Ching Chong China or whatever, something like that.
Yeah. I misunderstood.
Right away, though, he gives no time to chemtrails. When does he do Joe Rogan Questions Everything? Like, does that come about because of the podcast? Yes. Right?
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's an offer, which I think he regretted.
Obviously, now he regrets, but he didn't know that the podcast was going to be that big at that point. Are you looking for a lighter, man?
I'm good.
Okay. It's just such a mind fuck listening, knowing everything that's happened. Like,
as I'm listening, one of my notes, just huge, is how the fuck did this become JRE? Like, it is so...
Where it started?
Far... From where we are today.
Mm-hmm. The compound.
And even just when he's talking, he's like, yeah, you know, we've been talking about doing this for a while, but we're thinking we're going to do it, you know, once a week. And here we are, and he does, you know, 5 guests a week, 6 sometimes. Like, it's so amazing. It's so amazing.
How about this? Here we are 10 years later. We have a podcast where we discuss.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Like, that's exactly where we are. We have a podcast discussing this podcast. And this one was, like, insanely crackerjack.
I give them all the credit in the world. Joe just had an idea and was like, yeah, we don't need much to do this. Much like we did. We're just 10 years in the future where it's a lot easier. Like, we couldn't have done this then.
No, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We just now it's that much easier. Like I'll tell any listener, if you want to do this, it's under $1,000 for three people.
And if you want to do it in Ottawa, we have a place that will set you all up.
Oh yeah. Contact us if you want to record a podcast in Ottawa. Not here. Not in my basement.
Not in Matt's basement.
We have a studio that you can use. You're absolutely not using my fucking basement.
We're going to start an empire.
Well, you can, but that you, if you become a Joe on the Patreon, then you can come use Matt's basement.
No, for $100 a month that we split three ways? Fuck out of here. Yeah.
Listen, nobody's taking us up on that anyways. Don't worry.
No, Kamar and I are convinced that some billionaire is going to start listening eventually.
One time.
One time. That's it. And he'll be the sole Joe donor. I assume that if Joe ever listens eventually, knock on wood, that he'll be the $100 donor.
If he never listens, if he never sees the push, he's never gonna fucking listen to us. He's never gonna see extended
so
life
true.
Or whatever.
So
it's
true.
It's just not on it. He's a busy guy.
So they were giving the questions through the Twitter, which on one hand was very interesting, like I could see the merits of that and how they had to do that back then. But some of the questions that were being asked, like how high are you on a scale from 1 to 10? That's not bad. I would often like to know how high Joe is on a scale from 1 to 10.
I think Joe has a weird scale because I don't think Joe is that. Joe doesn't smoke that much weed. I'm not throwing him under the bus. I don't think that's a big surprise. Like he admits it. Compared to you, compared to me, Jesus.
No, I was just more thinking like, you know, there are some episodes where I'm not watching it like you guys are. I'm only listening. Mm. So I need to know, or I don't need to, but it would be informative for me to know
how many
joints he's smoked in that episode or, you know,
you
if
actually
they've
just,
even smoked
oh,
any.
I almost glazed over the biggest point.
It's a lot of work.
Recently, we've been talking a lot about how people are pissed online about how it's not live anymore. And I was very confused as to what the big deal was. But now when I think about it, it's been live since episode one. So that's why people are extra pissed. They're like, I don't want...
They like this shit the way they like it.
Well, it makes more sense to me now than 2 weeks ago where I was like, why are people so fucking uppity about this? Like, who gives a shit?
So you watched the whole thing?
Yeah.
You saw Joe's art?
I did not see his art.
Because he tweets out his art.
Oh, so that was the thing.
I'm just wondering, do they show that on the episode?
I was watching it, but I was like doing shit in the kitchen simultaneously. I don't think I ended up seeing
so
it.
So we need to go find that somehow,
yeah.
though.
I mean, Brian...
I was raving about it, but yeah. I really need to see what we're talking about here.
Yeah, for sure. It can't be that good because he hasn't continued doing it,
well,
right?
I'd
Should
really
we assume
like
that?
To know how good it is because that will help me in deciding whether I'll send him a picture I drew of him.
What? You made a portrait of Joe? And you won't let anyone see
Dude, look
see
at him
it?
Embarrassingly scratching the back of his head. Wow. This is like Seinfeld. You know when he's like, yeah, how's the relationship going? The higher you scratch on your face, the
But
worse.
It's like you said, I made a portrait of Joe, but he's actually saying, I regret saying this out loud.
It's not going very well. Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So after this, before I go, let's see if we can find that.
Okay,
somewhere.
We'll try. Well, we should end this anyway because there's not too much. Do you have? You do have two more pages of notes.
I got a couple.
Well,
more.
Well, he just has it. He has it from this episode. An ability just to talk.
Yeah,
he really has an amazing ability just to talk as if. Well, I guess it's easier because Brian's listening and just nodding along and saying Olive Garden every 5 minutes. But
this is also easier because there's people asking him questions.
There's no Olive Garden, though. Brian isn't. This is before. What? It's too early for that. Brian is literally like happy to even have his voice on air at this point.
But you really get the idea that without Brian, Joe couldn't have done this because he just has no fucking clue what's going on.
Well, he goes through some stuff like he's dating porn stars at one time.
Yeah. But
this podcast starts getting popular.
What I'm saying, though, is like you can tell that like all they're using is a fucking webcam and a garbage mic. And like Joe has no idea how to use any of it. Like when they're testing the mic at the one point.
And to him, Brian's a tech genius at this point.
Yeah.
To string this together with it. Fucking.
One of the questions that somebody asks is about ancient aliens. And Joe doesn't even know anything about ancient aliens.
Yeah, he's not there. He's not there yet.
He knows a tiny bit, but even the information they talk about isn't really right.
It's false.
So I really, sorry, Matt, I don't have that much more because they were all things we had already touched on.
Wow, he's really good.
But at the end, and I don't know if this was on the one you watched, but at the end, so they stop it. But they're still recording for like 30 seconds. Did you guys get that?
I don't remember.
And it's really weird because you like hear them candidly talking at that point, and they're like talking about like how it went.
I think that happens on more than just this one.
Oh, really?
Like, for this, the production takes a while for this to ramp up to what the well-oiled machine it is today.
For sure.
And Brian says, so as they're talking at the end, off air, or what they thought was off air, Brian says, think about how crazy this will look when we look back 50 years from now.
Yeah, look back 10.
And look back 2, 5. Yeah. Like, they just, that is the biggest foreshadowing.
Wait a minute, it just dawned on me too. So there was a 30-second post Joe 10 years before we ever did a post Joe?
Correct.
Exactly.
Correct.
The Matrix is okay. That's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah.
Just take a picture of your foot, Kumar?
No, it's Joe Rogan's art. He's a really good artist.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay. All right, well, let's rate this episode real quick, just because that's what we got to do.
It just
dawned on me, too. One of these episodes we rated at first, but we should be rating these at the end.
At the end, yeah correct.
So my apologies for one of the errors in one of the episodes.
But I think everyone can forgive us and understand us. We're in a bit of a crisis right now because Joe's on vacation. We had no idea. Like, we're reacting. We're working with the best we had.
No, well, we do this for the Patreon anyway. We're going to keep doing these every month, so I don't know why you're apologizing. And this is coming out a month from now, so I'm going to have to edit that out because it makes no fucking sense.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I think our fans won't mind.
Yeah, whatever.
Sorry, Jesse.
Fan. No, I'm kidding. Thank you for listening. Rate the episode, Simon.
Oh, right.
Episode 1, JRE number 1.
I mean, because we know what we know now, I think that it's like a 4.
Wow. What a kind of bizarro fucking Christmas world are we living in? Well,
just because we see like where things start and minus Holtzman starting in this episode, I mean, we got some of the same threads that travel throughout 1,300 episodes. Like, that's amazing.
Kumar, give me your rating.
5. It's the genesis. It's the best, man.
All right, I'm going to do this the way the listeners would like, which is I'm going to tell you this was a 1. Do not go back and listen to this.
You said at the beginning of this podcast, you told everyone to listen to this because it's
inspiring. Hold on. What I said was this. Spend 5 minutes watching it to inspire you to go, oh, this is how this started.
Okay.
You don't need...
Anyone can do this.
Yes,
that's what Matt was
That
saying.
Was my point. You don't need to spend 2 hours listening to all of this because there's 1,300 other episodes where they touch on absolutely everything. It just... Listen, it was great to go back and to listen for sure because we do this for the show, but I wouldn't suggest unless you're like an avid listener and you've never heard it.
I wasn't rating it a 4.
I understand where you're at. Yeah, yeah. And I get where you're at too. I'm not.
Let us know if you've heard this episode right in.
I am interested though. Episode 3 is Ari.
And well, Bill Burr's like
Ari's first appearance. Yeah. I want to listen to that just to see what he's like there.
I'm pretty sure he's pushing Shroomfest
on that episode.
Way back then.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow. Well, I'm going to have to pick
either
that
way. One of you will have to pick. I'm going to pick some. Who knows where I'm going to pick next?
Who knows?
But either way, thanks for listening to another episode of This Won't Age Well. And we'll see you guys soon. Thanks so much.
Keep looking up.
You don't even know your own catchphrase.
I don't even remember it.
This is unreal. Kumar, say goodbye. Who fucking cares?
Love you guys.
Keep your eyes open. Keep keeping your eyes open. I like that.
It's growing on me.